Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable, and this morning is Sunday, November 5th, 2017. And our morning prayer is to be given by Jeremy today.
Mrs. Eddy's prayer, given at the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. Oh my God, I offer as a consecrated gift upon thine altar a heart dedicated to thy service, lips speaking only words of charity, love, and truth, thoughts striving to be only the true thoughts of mind, the mind of God. Help me to endure unto the end, strong in the faith, powerful in the truth. All the influence that I can bring to bear, all the force of tongue or pen that is mine, I offer in thy service. May heaven help, consecrate, and accept.
Thank you. And miscellaneous writings. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind, for then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form and mind spake and form appeared. So who would like to do it next week? Also, if you want to read something different, you know, please feel free to, as long as it's a prayer of this nature. Elsie read something different once last week, and Florence did, too.
And we didn't beat them up?
No, we didn't beat them up. They were A-OK. OK, Luann, have you done it? Luann, you'll do it next week.
OK. Thank you.
Welcome. I will just call on people since you're all...
Thanks for volunteering.
You're such shy violets.
Well, that was super acceptance.
It was super acceptance, so that's a good thing. Right. Yeah, we can see the hands waving. Okay, our subject today is Adam and fallen man. Golden text is Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, we'll talk about that, because that's a very important passage from Proverbs. I wrote about it on the forum, so did Florence and Parthen. Any comments? Florence, you want to start? Maybe not. Anybody else want to start? What does that passage mean to you?
I know since coming here and learning about Christian Science, things have only gotten better. Nothing I've learned here has made my life worse or harder. All of it has been quite wonderful.
Thank you. Will?
Every time I've got the blessing. The blessing, singular, not blessings, that everything that God gives is a blessing. It's just infinite.
That's great.
It's not like it's so many blessings, but everything.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Will. Good thought. Lawrence, were you going to speak?
Yes. I think this really does mean a lot, because it's a trick of the devil. I know now that whenever something good happens, then it seems as though something wrong thought comes to steal your joy, to make you doubt again God's power and his love. And it's, none of this is true, because the verse says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, rich in joy, rich in health, rich in everything. And he does not add any sorrow to it. So where is the sorrow coming from? The wrong thinking.
Thank you very much.
And we shouldn't tolerate it.
Do you remember when you were given this verse, Carol?
Yes, when I was expecting my first baby. And Mrs. Evans used to give that out to us, and she said that this is God's blessing. This child is God's blessing. And there's no sorrow with it. That means no terrible twos. That means no teen problems with teenagers. That means every bit of that child's life is a blessing. and can only bless me and everyone else.
Thank you. Now, if you're hearing this belatedly and your child is already an adult or whatever, it's not too late, as we talked about on the recent roundtable. It's never too late to claim this. But first, what do you have to acknowledge about a child?
It's God's child.
Yes.
His father, his true father, mother is God and not us, the earthly, mortal parent. You have to acknowledge that God is directing them and having plan every detail of their lives, and we're just, caregivers, but just to make sure to guide them in the right path. But this verse is very meaningful to me because it makes me understand that, okay, sometimes I feel if I have something good happening to me, in the past I used to think, oh my goodness, when is the other shoe going to drop? Oh, this is not going to last. And it's very comforting to me that it says that there's no sorrow added to any of the blessings that come from God.
Thank you very much, because that's exactly right. That's what the human mind says. What is Murphy's Law? Does anyone know?
Anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Okay. There you go. Nice and cheerful. Okay, well, that's the human mind. And frankly, I mean, as a child, I that was somehow given to me. I can remember hearing it, even from my father, that negativity. And so you've got to cleanse yourself from it. Not the truth. Not if the blessing is from the Lord. And that's the key, too. It has to be from the Lord. It's not something you willfully obtained in any not good means. It has to be a blessing from God. And it can be, we've just talked about a child, but it can be a many things. A home, a business, a marriage, all kinds of things. So if it's from God, it can only bless you. And even if things don't work out, you can claim the blessing, say in a home or a marriage or what. Even if it doesn't work out, you can know, well, okay, it didn't work out, but there's still a blessing here for me to obtain. And there will be, but you've got to demand it. Okay, and before we get too much farther along, yesterday we had one question left from the Bible study. It was a really good Bible study that Mike prepared for us. If you weren't there, please listen. And Mike, you want to give us the last question? Are you able to?
That was not from me. That was from God. Thank you very much.
Yes, but you were the one who gave it to us. Yes,
you
listened and received it.
Not easy.
Yes, so.
We give credit where credit is due.
Yes, absolutely.
And for those who are willing servants deserve credit.
Gilbert Carpenter says you can't separate the demonstrator and the demonstration.
Yeah, because we would never thank Mrs. Eddy either if we went along those lines. It's very important that we understand this with a nuance again, but it's important.
Thank you very much.
We know, Mike, that it didn't originate in you.
Yeah,
we know that.
So then I do have to add to that and say that that's the reason why everybody should volunteer, because of the fact that there's so much support and good things come from it, and one can never make a mistake. It can never go wrong. And it helped me so much because I realized the first one, I came up with this wonderful idea, and then it turned out that wasn't even in the lesson. And then every time Tom from New York suggested something, like, where did that come from? And I read the lesson again, and it was right in the lesson. So it made me realize I was not reading the lessons with understanding, and it really got me to do that much better. And there's a long ways to go, but tell everybody should volunteer because it's going to help with your growth tremendously.
Well, thank you, Mike. Good. That was very helpful. Good. Absolutely right. So, question number four.
What are the two great lights of Genesis 1:16?
This is Colleen.
Okay.
I found something in the red book. I could read that if you'd be interested.
I would. I thought it was very beautiful. I was going to bring it out if no one else did, so go ahead.
Okay. So this is from Essays and Other Footprints, the Red Book by Mary Baker Eddy, page 89. Quote, read Genesis 1:16. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. There are two lights. The greater light is spiritual understanding. The lesser light is human intellect. The sun rules the day. The moon rules the darkness, ignorance, etc. It is darkness, fear, belief, false science, etc. We are the sons of righteousness. We rule the day. The light of understanding, end quote. Now there's another paragraph. I don't know if you'd like me to read that, or should I just stop there?
Go ahead. Read the next paragraph. That's very good.
Okay. Quote, the human mind, lusts upon human intellect, has the wrong idea of supply, lust upon friends, has the wrong idea about persons, believing that the individual is man rather than God, lusts upon home, has not the true concept of home. Home is heaven. Heaven is harmony. End quote. And that's it.
Thank you very much. That was a wonderful thing to find that. Thank you. It almost describes the Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Genesis 1 is the divine, the one mind, the light. Genesis 2 is the ignorant belief of many minds, and all the et ceteras. That whole section is excellent. It goes into also poverty and how Mrs. Eddy had to get over a belief of poverty, which of course she did, and got into the abundance and infinitude of God. All of us at these sessions should be stretching ourselves, stretching what we are expecting of this infinite God we have, and not accept all these limitations. Because sometimes generation to generation, your family is just always poor. So you just think that's the way you are, that's it. How can God help you with that? Well, that's simply not true. Your own belief limits you. And anyway, this page perhaps very helpful in that regard.
The watch also goes along with this.
Yes.
Which I thought was terrific.
Yes.
Can I read the watch?
Yeah, the watch was excellent. Go ahead.
Watch 429. Watch lest you run your thought ragged with a frenzied mental effort, forgetting that the purpose of all our work is to refresh our heart with brighter, with spiritual views, as the textbook says. Expectant faith based on understanding, not depressing arguments and ground-out assertions, accomplishes all good. In science, we heal and receive good because we expect to. The influence of good goes forth from us because we expect it to.
Thank you. Something to guard against, really, is this grinding out. That you think you've got to keep grinding and grinding. it's a state of thought. It's like if you're constantly tuning your violin and you never stop tuning it and never play. Yes?
It can also be driven by a belief that the thoughts have to originate in you. Because what's the relationship between the greater light and the lesser of the two great lights?
Well, the greater light is what makes things shine. And then they reflect.
Yeah, the greater light is God. The greater light is the divine mind. It's the only self-existent entity. And it is the greater light.
And it is truly the only light.
As Mrs. Eddy says in Genesis, she says, light is a symbol of mind, of life, truth, and love, and not of idolizing property of matter.
Thank you.
Right. All light, all understanding, all intelligence, all anything, any sight, all life, is derived from the one great light, which is the mind that knows everything, that makes everything, and that governs everything. That is the greater of the two great lights. The lesser light you can refer to, in the reading we just had, it's referred to as human intellect. It is the understanding that we gain through inspiration. It is the light that governs the darkness. In other words, it's our way out of ignorance. But it comes to us through inspiration. And that is what Mrs. Eddy means by the reflected light. It doesn't originate in us. But we can receive it through inspiration. And we can receive everything that we need when we need it from the one great light, which made us.
By reflection.
Yeah, and that is the source of our dominion over ignorance, over fear.
It's not something you conjure up. If you get yourself out of the way and let God in, and then it is. An article in Miscellany that you all should be familiar with, and it's not on our website, we should have it on our website. It's called Watching versus Watching Out, and it refers to this watching point where Mrs. Eddy says, if so-called watching produces fear or exhaustion and no good results, does that watch accord with Jesus' saying? And his saying is, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. It does not. Can watching, as Christ demands, harm you? It cannot. Then should not watching out mean watching against a negative watch, alias no watch, and gaining the spirit of true watching, even the spirit of Christ's command? It must mean that.
That is on the website.
It is good. You have to understand, in our watching, in any of our prayers, in any of your thoughts, you might work for a little while with some arguments or knowing the truth, denying the error, but then you get into this allness of God. It's not the grinding out, the watching point addressed.
So in everything that you do, whether it's in a business, if your business is to benefit mankind, God will give you what you need to know to have a successful business, to succeed in blessing mankind. If you enter into any kind of a relationship, a marriage, if it's to benefit mankind, to glorify God, God will give you everything you need to make that relationship a successful relationship. And he will lead you to successful relationships. And anything that you do for the church, get yourself out of the way, and God will give you incredible things. Whatever it is your role to play, to write lessons, God, get yourself out of the way. God will give you good lessons. And we've got people who are now stepping up and learning to write lessons. And I think I can speak for all of them. The most important thing that a lesson writer can do is to get himself out of the way and let God work. That's what a good practitioner does. A practitioner listens to God, and God tells that practitioner what the patient needs. Patients often don't even know what they need.
Well, I think in all things, since God is all and all has already been done, then it's us to get ourselves out of the way and let His way shine through.
That's it, and
thank
that's
you.
The light,
yeah.
And that's that what Colleen read about, we are the light of righteousness. We become that light. We're the light of the world. And also, again, to go back to the golden text, what Parthens wrote, I like that, we're eating of the tree of double-mindedness. And here again, this is the light that's from God, and then the intellect, the human viewpoint.
The wrong concept,
the
human
wrong
intellect.
Concept. Yeah, he says, I can, and then I can't. Press on, give up. Okay. The question to be asking yourself is, where did this voice come from? Who's saying this? And it starts, you know, in the lesson it says, Adam starts off somewhat mildly. She uses the word mildly. So maybe you get the thought, well, I don't understand science and health. And you think that's logical. And so you don't go any farther. Who says you don't understand science and health? Who told you that? Is God up in heaven saying, Mary, you don't understand science and health? Of course not. God wrote the book. Don't you think He's given you the understanding to understand it? And other suggestions like that, mildly, you just right away you accept them without any question, and then it's already got you in its clutches. So ask yourself, did God say that to me? And if He did, great. And if He didn't, then shut it up. I read something, I thought this was very helpful, some kind of ancient saying or something, but it says, happiness is wanting what you already have. Okay? Happiness is wanting what you already have. So let's all be happy. Moving on. So, okay. I was going to have Jeremy touch on, he gave the 7 steps of emerging understanding, which kind of deals also with Genesis 1. Not to read all of it, but...
Okay. Yeah, this is something I got thinking about last at a Bible study during the spring, and I actually wrote something down quickly during the class, and then I just thought about it all summer, and it just came up, it sort of came back. But it's just the thought that these, what is true... And a big part of what God makes is true in a small part, you know, just what I was thinking about. It's true for all of creation, but it's also true just in learning, you know, whatever God has to teach me today. So I just found that really, really fascinating, going from the darkness of not knowing on through the progression, getting the light, getting the ground beneath my feet of this understanding, and then being able to use it. And then protecting it afterward.
Yeah, I'd like you to read the protection part.
Oh, okay. I must protect this understanding from the mist that tries to take it from me. There can be no pride in my understanding or envy of another's, no fear of losing it, no failure to use it.
no misconception of where it comes from, and no reversal, as God's work is done. I must be ready to use this understanding as He directs, when He directs. I must be ever grateful for the blessing that each bit of understanding brings. The battles won and victories gained here encourage me when God calls on me to learn and understand even more.
Thank you. That was an excellent treatment. And Mrs. Eddy says, attaining, which is more difficult, attaining or maintaining?
Maintaining
it. And this is what Jeremy is speaking about. Because all of those little foxes will spoil the vine, any one of them. Getting jealous, looking around at what other people are doing, not focusing on what God has given you to do, but thinking, you know, you should do something else. This is the maintenance work that must be done. It must be done daily. Just keeping your, as Suzanne talked about yesterday, your window pure and clean every day. So the mist does not go up. Go ahead.
I like to think that it's the love for God and man that makes us need the effort to maintain, because it's not just for ourselves. Like Mrs. Eddy says, love for God and man is the true incentive.
So thank you.
If we're doing that, we are loving God and man.
That's right.
I know that's true for me. I never would have done all this just for me.
No, that's so true, Florence. And also, it takes me back to the days when we were, you know, in our law case with Boston and being persecuted, you know, by the organization. And Mrs. Evans, it was her great love for the science and her great respect for what Mrs. Eddy established, as well as, you know, her love for God and for man. That was all part of the package. That she could do no else but to uphold her highest sense of what God has given us in Christian Science, that enabled her to go through the persecution and come out blessed and even better as a result of it.
And Mrs. Eddy said that all that she'd done for mankind was accomplished through unselfed love. Because, yeah, you're going to get things thrown at you, things said about you, things making you discouraged. And if you don't care enough for God and your fellow man, you will throw the towel in. It takes the unself-love to continue, to press on instead of giving up, as Arthur said.
And I thought it was so, I was really pleased to read what Jeremy wrote. Because for a lot of people, you know, Jeremy's fairly new to science. Well, he's been here 3 or 4 years.
Four and a half,
sorry. My, how time flies. But I thought he really has demonstrated these steps of spiritual growth, and he hasn't forgotten them, and he appreciates them. And he wouldn't have been able to write that down if he hadn't demonstrated those steps.
I think it's important to remember how dark it was before. I always do, and that makes me appreciate every day here.
You know, that is what is true with everything that's said here or written, or it should be true. It has to come from your heart that you've demonstrated it, and it's practical to you. Otherwise, it is intellect. We could all write and talk about various things that we've never had anything to do with. That's the intellect, and that rings cold and empty. And in reading these things, you can say, oh, how wonderful it is. But the real test is, well, how does this apply to me? How is this going to change me? How will this make me better? Not just to read it and say, oh, that's wonderful.
But you can you write T and P next to it?
Yes. Tried and proved, T and P. So in this lesson, I was thinking this story of Adam. First, and the reason I'm giving you these, is check your own life, because this is how it works. First, the mist comes up. Something comes up, obscuring your vision. What does the word obscure mean?
Blocked it.
Blinding. Yes, dark. Uncomprehendable. So something will come up, you'll get into the intellect, you'll start questioning. I don't understand science and health. Go with that one.
Ruminate,
yes, and we're going to get on what Linda, maybe we should do it now. What did you say about ruminate, some of the synonyms?
Well, this was a surprise to me because I do all of them. Worry, or I try not to now. Worry, dwell, stew, sulk, languish. I thought bleed was interesting.
Yes.
Fret, gnaw, speculate, which I see a lot of that going on. Think about, eat one, grieve, and lament. I mean, you could think individually. You could use self-justification for some of that. And I didn't think of it as ruminating, but they all are.
Yes. Yes, and then you think, because some of those words, you think of how it would affect your body if you continue with
exactly.
it.
Right.
So that's the mist. Okay, after the mist.
Well, I want to say on ruminate, I think one of the things that I'll speak for myself, it's hard to think two different thoughts at the same time. So if you're ruminating on something, yeah, you know, that's something you're concerned about, I suppose, you know. Well, you're just going to do that over and over and over, and then while you're doing that, are you also at the same time thinking about God? If you can do that, I guess maybe ruminating is okay, but I find it very tough. It means I'm not thinking about God.
I think you're right. You only let in one thought at a time, and if your thought is occupied by that rumination, like a door, it blocks anything else to come in.
The mist. It's all the clouds rolling in, rolling, as you're ruminating, and that's...
It doesn't mean that God's not there, it just means the mist is up so you can't see it.
What was the next thing after the mist? Then what happened?
Watering the whole face of the ground?
Yeah.
The serpent?
No. It's a deep sleep.
Oh.
The mist will put you to sleep. All that ruminating, you get heavy. You get in the human sense of things. And then, since I listed them, I had time to think about it. Then after that comes this idea of material birth. So what's that getting at? We've talked about it earlier.
Subject to every ill,
material
parent.
Right. Matter has the power to create, that you are a creator. You, not God, you. You created your children, you created your business, you did this, you did that, it's all me, myself, and I, and there's no more God. So first you get the mist coming over you, you're ruminating, thinking about error, then you get into a deep sleep, then you get thinking that you did things that you didn't, and then the serpent comes. What did you say about the serpent, Shardy?
Well, I was so relieved in Christian Science to find out that there's no lying, talking serpent. And it wasn't until I came to Christian Science that helped me so much.
Thank you.
It isn't true.
No. But if you're in this Adam dream state of thought, you're going to think it is true, aren't you? You're going to listen. You're sitting and listening to it talking. You do not understand science and how, whatever else it's saying to you, whatever lie, and you're going to think it's something true. Makes sense. So then you're tempted, and you're tempted to be what? What did Eve do?
Disobeyed God.
A lie.
That's right. disobeyed God. She ate of the tree of the...
knowledge of good and evil.
Yes, the tree of double-mindedness.
So I think this tells us about self-justification. We're talking about the serpent. You're doing something that's against God's law, but you're justifying it for some reason, so that what you're doing is right and good, but it's not.
Absolutely. That's the adamant of error, any of the self-thoughts.
And if you really observe a lot, whether it's in our ordinary life or stuff you read in the paper, a lot of stuff happens because people felt that what they did was justified. They were right because of what someone else did.
Well, and that goes to the next, disobedience and blame. I did it because of someone told me to, or whatever.
The devil made me do it.
Devil made me do it. Your justification.
And made me do it.
See, this is the, it starts off mildly, but it gets more and more aggressive. And then after the blame and the justification, then comes the shame and the fear. And then you're doomed to till the soil and be miserable for the rest of your life. Ta-da!
Have a good life.
Easy step. But the reason I say any of this is to catch yourself with it. Notice when you're getting into any of these things. And even, you know, if you are in this heavy state of working and hating your job and being miserable, well, chances are there's a reason that you've been doing all this other stuff that came before it. When you're finding your true purpose in God, what God wants you to do, you're not going to feel so horrible. If you haven't come there yet, well, there's hope, because God does have something. But you haven't opened up your thought to it. You're believing, and you're limiting yourself, and you're thinking, this is my lot in life, and it isn't. So what I loved, Florence wrote about the grandeur. Now, what did you tell us, Florence? Also, along with this, is awake out of your sleep. Awake, awake, awake. Wake up. Get out of this Adam dream. It's not the truth. Claim your dominion. Claim your grandeur. Claim your first creation, the one and only creation.
There's a good poem on the website, featured on the website, about that. Genesis 1 or Genesis 2.
So, Florence, you want to tell us about the grandeur?
Well, we have a grand heritage, and so it's really about knowing, again, as we've talked over and over again, who we are, what our heritage is, what God has given us, our worth. Because you hear a lot of people, this false sense of not being worthy, you know, of God's good. It's always in there trying to stop you from, you know, claiming what you are, feeling the love of God and His protection and all the good that He's given you. So we have to be aware of this. Like that verse, what is that verse? You're the king's daughter.
Yes.
You know, for example.
Yes, to claim that. You're the daughter of the king, or the daughter or the son of the king, and king with a capital K. That's your inheritance. That's your father, mother, God. That's the father, mother, God of all your relatives and friends. He's the only father, mother, God. And your blog started with, God fashions all things after His likeness. So that means you are fashioned after God's likeness. Now, one thing that Lillian often says is, if God doesn't have it, then...
not mine.
Right. If God doesn't have it, then I can't have it. If God doesn't have the flu, then how can I have the flu? If God isn't poor, how can I be poor?
If God's not miserable, how can I be miserable? If God's not ugly and old, how can I be ugly and old?
Why should I be unhappy, you know, when joy is free-flowing every time from God?
Yes. Exactly. And Mike wrote that beautiful forum contribution about the hymn, Joy Cometh in the Morning, something that Mrs. Eddy sang, had her students sang, after a very difficult night. So we sing our hymns, we claim, think about it, instead of thinking you're this, that, or the next thing, think you're about your God's image. What does that mean? God's image and likeness. He made you in his image and likeness.
If we're born of truth and love.
Pardon me?
We're born of truth and love.
Yes.
Sometimes I like to think that our substance is just spirit, and so therefore every molecule, whether it be of my body or something I see, is really perfect from God. And so if I'm not seeing that, I have to say, well, that's not the true thing, and change my thought and get back to what's real about everything that I behold in my thinking.
Yes. I love it. It's in Martha Wilcox's article on body, where she says, every cell fiber of my being is what? You know, Carol? Declaring I am, declaring God is. Every iota of you, that's all it can do. That's a paraphrase, but I have it written down in my notebook. That's because it's so wonderful. You think you have some little part of your body that's misbehaving? No, every cell, every iota of it is declaring, God is all. I am all. I am. That's all it can do, because God is all in all. That's all there is. So address yourself that way.
So she wrote that, Martha Wilcox?
Martha Wilcox.
Fascinating. And I'll tell you why I find it fascinating, because I grew up in the Christian Science was that if you had something wrong with you, you were sick or stomach ache or headache, whatever, it's because, you know, the material body was not real. You know, so.
That's helpful, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and that those are the two, we've talked about that, the two theories of thought. That one and the one that Martha Wilcox expressed, that Kimball has expressed.
But this is why it's so important to have the right concept of God. Because what does Mrs. Eddy say? It says we can know no more of ourselves than we can know of God. You can't know who you are unless you have some idea as to what God is.
And also the seven synonyms, and if you expand out what all of the synonyms mean, none of them have anything material to them. So you don't need matter to be express yourself, or, you know, the truth is, you know, honesty and love and those qualities, which are not material, so they're not affected by the material body or material things.
Right.
It does say, to cure a bodily ailment, every broken moral law should be taken into account and the error rebuked.
That's right. Yes, that's true.
Of pain or debt.
What was that, Fon?
Pain or debt. I mean, we have to be on the side of God.
Right. Well, and there's only the one you, and it's spiritual now. We see through a glass darkly, but we are, and it's not material, he is spiritual, scientific statement of being. So, remember, recognize your own grandeur. This is Eddie says, if you realize your own grandeur, you just let the air destroy itself. That's a paraphrase too, but it's a beautiful statement. So we have to understand this, acknowledge it, think about it. You spend more time thinking about that than you do about your aches and pains, you'll be starting to feel a whole lot better. Anyone, would anyone like to say anything briefly before we end that did not speak? Okay, well, Gary's going to end with message for 1902 by Mrs. Eddy, page 7.
In the first chapter of Genesis, matter, sin, disease, and death enter not into the category of creation or consciousness. Minus this spiritual understanding of Scripture, of God and His creation, neither philosophy, nature, or grace can give man the true idea of God, divine love, sufficiently to fulfill the first commandment. The Latin omni, which signifies all, used as an English prefix to the words potens, presence, science, signifies all power, all presence, all science. Use these words to define God, and nothing is left to consciousness but love, without beginning and without end. Even the forever I am and all, than which there is not else. Thus we have scriptural authority for divine metaphysics, spiritual man and the universe coexistent with God. No other logical conclusion can be drawn from the premises, and no other scientific proposition can be Christianly entertained.
Thank you. Thank you for joining our roundtable this morning. I'm so grateful you're all here. And now we'll go forward and have a wonderful service. And we will stay in the first creation, the true creation, and the only creation. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.